the Ion Basketball Podcast, the Pick and Troll Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Harper. I have Matthew Moore, senior NBA blogger, on the line, fresh off the rousing Minnesota Timberwolves-Denver Nuggets game. I mean, that was one for the classics, Matt.
You know, I had some high points on Twitter. I think the moment where I said at halftime, how in God's name is Denver only down four, and you said it feels like Minnesota should be down 16.
Yeah.
I think that was pretty much that sums up the game pretty well, and it was a highlight for both of our careers.
It really was, and it was great that it was the exact same time, and I had absolutely zero feel for that win.
I had a pretty good feel for why Denver lost. Like,
yeah.
It was like a lot of things went wrong at once.
Right.
They couldn't hit shots at the rim. Pekovic and Love's defense was great. Their interior defense was terrific.
That's the thing. I mean, this is not an athletic team at all, but they shut off lanes really well.
Mm-hmm. And against that offense, it worked really effectively.
Yeah.
Ty Lawson was not good until the fourth quarter. Andre Miller was tired. They got in foul trouble early. And Kenneth Faried, the bigs for Denver were just disastrous.
Which is weird because they dominated Kevin Love the entire night. I mean, Kevin Love did absolutely zilch the entire game and showed that he just does not belong in a Timberwolves uniform in any way. And so I just assume that Kenneth Faried had, I don't know, like 40 points and 38 rebounds. Was that what he had? I didn't check the final box score. I just assume he had 40 and 38.
So let's go ahead and unleash this bolt.
Yeah.
You've been getting a few comments, so to recap, Love played, I think he had his first shot blocked, had a few points at the rim, drew some free throws, was getting really frustrated with the officials, was really frustrated with pretty much everything, his body language was bad.
Yeah, it's not a happy guy.
Looked really angry, sprained his finger, went back to the locker room. I was actually back in the back area, after halftime, just hanging out, talking to somebody, doing reporterly work. And it's funny because I was talking to this guy, and then like I look up and I see Kevin Love going back to the locker room, and it was like he's talking to me, and he turns around and I'm gone, and I'm like running down the hall, being like, I'll talk to you later. And then I'm doing the weird thing because it's like, you know, I'm not gonna like peek around the corner of the X-ray room, like that's not okay. But
right.
You know, I'm just kind of keeping an eye on things.
But you did like a standard reporter's army crawl in there, right?
Right, exactly. No, I just kind of hung out and was like looking, you know. Mostly I wanted to confirm he's going back for an X-ray.
Yeah.
And he did. And it was negative, and he got a sprained finger. He looked, man, the hand looked bad when it went in. I was like, oh, God.
I couldn't tell if it was just a weird angle on TV or what, but it looked really swollen. And someone's like, oh, he just has fat hands. I was like, you don't get just one fat hand. It's not like, I mean, that's not really how it works. Like, he may have fat hands.
The bench, but he didn't play again.
Yeah.
Kept it iced. And then they go on to win. And of course, this being a results-oriented society, we decided to react in the worst ways possible. And I'll let you take it from there.
It is so weird how Timberwolves fans are just turning Kevin Love into a villain. And, like, all right. I'm looking at the box score right now. Kenneth Faried had 6 rebounds last night. 4 of those came when Kevin Love wasn't in the game. Kevin Love had 17 rebounds in 24 minutes. He dominated Kenneth Faried, aside from a quick little stretch, I believe, in the third quarter where Faried, I think, really got up and down and made a couple of plays. But Faried really didn't do anything in this game. He was in foul trouble almost the entire game. So Love really dominated that stretch when they were on the court together. And yet, I mean, you talked about how Love and Pekovic played great defense inside. But all I hear from Timberwolves fans right now is he's not giving any effort. He's not, like, he still complains and still is slow to get back on defense. I will freely admit that. His conditioning looks like it sucks. He looks completely out of shape. He doesn't look strong to me, like physically strong. Like he's getting blocked in games the most out of any player per game in the league right now, and I really believe that it's the hand didn't allow him to lift weights as much as he would need to, and he just kind of got physically weak because he doesn't create any space inside right now. I mean, just absolutely zero space inside. And he's reacting to that with frustration and complaining to the refs. He got a tech last night. I think it was a second straight game with the tech. These are not good ways to react to it, but the fallout from this is just insane. It is literally insane. And the idea is that they don't want him on the team anymore. I mean, they just like this team is better when he's not on the floor. Here's a great quote from Luke Ridenour last night. I believe it came from Alan Horton, who's a fantastic radio play-by-play guy for the Wolves. I think it was Luke who said, when Love went out of the game with the injury, we felt a sense of urgency. And you saw Luke and you saw Barea take over that game in the fourth quarter. And it's not necessarily that they play that they're better without him on the floor. It's that they realized, oh crap, like it's on us to win this game. We can't rely on Kevin Love. He's not out there. Like, we have to win this game. And they stepped up, and Barea was incredible. I mean, just aside from one possession in the fourth where he got Gallo switched out on him, and Gallo played great defense, Barea just cut up that half-court defense of the Nuggets completely. Whenever he got a mismatch, he got to the rim. I mean, it looked like he was just smothering guys a foot and a half taller than him. Like, just incredible play by him. And I think that's a difference that people don't realize is when the star goes out, yeah, you sometimes get a boost because everyone realizes we have to pick up our game right now. I mean, you've seen it when Rubio is in with that team, play completely bogs down because I think they're just waiting for him to do something magical. And maybe that's part of the reason with Love. Love can just physically not dominate on offense consistently right now. It's kind of, you know, two bad games, one good game, two bad games, one good game. And that I think that's conditioning. But there is something where if you see that he is no longer on the court, you pick up your play because you don't have your star anymore. And that's a mental aspect I don't think a lot of people get.
Well, two things. One, it's like you're doomed either way trying to argue about Love because either he didn't try and got 17 rebounds, or he clearly was trying because he got 17 rebounds.
Right.
I mean, there's no way. The other thing is, Denver is one of the best teams in the league at offensive rebounding and rebounding in general. They're a great rebounding team.
Yeah. They got dominated last night on the boards.
And Love had 5 of them, and that killed them.
Yeah.
Like, Denver's good defensively, but they're not good for multiple possessions.
Right.
That's asking too much of their bigs. It's surprising to me just because, like, most fans are crazy about their stars. And, I mean, don't get me wrong, all the stuff you're saying about his attitude is absolutely on point. I mean, I saw it, like, he was just pissed off at everything.
Yeah, that guy is really frustrated right now, and he is not at a point in his life, professionally or I think personally, where he knows how to consistently deal with that frustration.
Like, I was going to call him Sulky McSulkerson last night.
Sure, that makes sense.
No, but I mean, God, he's Kevin Love. I mean, you know, Denver would kill to have Kevin Love. I mean, they would trade half of that team to get Kevin Love.
It was funny. I think Aaron Brewski from Pro Basketball Talk was like, "Hey, I know 29 teams right now that would love to give Kevin Love more rope right now."
Right? He can sulk on anybody's sideline. That's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, you know, it's really absurd. The game was second half was kind
of
fun.
Yeah, the second half was fun. I thought the fourth quarter, the flow of the fourth quarter was great.
JJ Barea, Jub. You said, I should have challenged you more on this, because you said weeks ago when we talked about him, you're like, he's just nice to have. It's like a nice extra thing. And I think they kind of underrates him a little bit because of games like this. And not that this is like his model, but it's having a guy that when all these, like you're having a bad game, you know, and you don't have your best scorer, Rubio's not there. You know, and you need somebody to make things happen. Like, Barea makes things happen. He's like the Winston Wolf, right? Like,
yeah.
He just comes in and is like, you know.
He's like, you clean up those brains. You wipe down that car.
Exactly. He's looking at you know.
I need lots of cream, lots of sugar.
Like, you really got to get in there and scrub.
Yeah. I need coffee, lots of cream, lots of sugar.
You know. Cunningham was good, even though, you know, he only had 6 points. But I felt like his rebounding, and, you know, he had 4 assists. I felt like his ball movement was good. Shvedi.
It was nice to see him attack the basket. Like, he has gotten into this point, and I've actually wondered if it's a rookie wall or, you know, something. But it seems like he is fine to just settle for jumpers, and he's a pretty decent shooter. Like, it's not a terrible thing, but I don't think people really realize how athletic he is. Like, he's slight of build, but he's very athletic. Like, he can get up and dunk on people, and his ability to get to the rim is something I don't think he utilizes enough.
You know, in 2 years, when he learns something Westbrook learned about the coming off the high pick and roll, two dribble pull-up jumper.
Yeah.
When he gets into that set, he's going to be really good.
Yeah, and that's something he actually did pretty decently in Russia. And it's just, you haven't seen it much in the NBA, but I think that once he learns the spacing of the NBA, I think that'll come for sure.
The Denver Nuggets had six players in double figures. Andre Miller had 10 assists. Andre Iguodala had 6 assists. Kosta Kupas had 16.7 rebounds. Fareed had 8 and 6. And that team was pissed off after the game.
Let me ask you a question. Why were you and I so off on this game? Why were we on different ends of the spectrum? Because to me, it really felt like Denver had control of the pace of the game for at least the first half, and that they had more energy, and yet they were losing at halftime.
Here's my best theory on that.
Okay.
You and I watch these teams night in and night out, so we know what they want to do and what they like to do and what they're good at. And last night, the only way they were succeeding was by doing things they usually don't do.
Yeah, that's true.
And they were not doing the things that they need to.
That's a good point.
The Nuggets, I can't say the Nuggets have an offensive problem. They have one of the better offenses in the league because George Karl is a really good offensive coach.
Yeah.
I think that there are, I don't have proof, I don't have knowledge of this, but I think, I have a theory that a lot of the players aren't necessarily, they're fine with the dribble drive, they don't really like it. I think Ty Lawson and Andre Iguodala would rather run pick and roll.
Yeah.
I think they'd rather run a lot more of a standard half-court set.
I wonder how they can do that. I just don't feel like, other than Fareed, I don't feel like they have a pick-and-roll big man. Like, I don't really see...
That's kind of the problem.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't really see McGee as that guy consistently. I think Fareed can be deadly on a pick-and-roll.
I mean, the way that they've kind of built it is, like, Kupas is surprisingly good. And he really is. Like, he's been, like, you know, he had 16 points on 10 shots last night. He was really good.
Yeah.
Plus 19. Let everybody. And JaVale's JaVale, and it's a process. And that's anybody in the Nuggets organization will tell you. They're not concerned with this year.
Yeah.
That is not what they care about. You know, and that's not to say that he's untouchable. I think he's definitely, like, they've proven that they'll give a guy an extension and move him. But with how they evaluate him, they're worried about him in 2 years. That's what they worry about. But the result is, Fareed is an okay to under to below average screener and a decent to fine role guy.
Yeah.
You just can't do a lot with him. You just can't. You just cannot do a whole lot with Kenneth Fareed. And Fareed makes a ton happen because Kenneth Fareed is awesome. Like, physically and effort-wise and in terms of just ability, not skill and not athleticism, just ability. He's really great. But because he doesn't have that skill set, it makes things really hard. There are ways to solve them in sets, and so their sets are very, you know, the standard thing. So, you know, when we talked about the Wolves cutting off those lanes, like, that was a huge problem for them. And so you have such a situation where, you know, Danilo Gallinari goes 3-7 for 3-point range. And that's an okay number because I think he hit one late. But in reality, they suffer when that happens. When the corner three's not falling to open up the lanes, and then you've got them just stacking the passing lanes, it gets really difficult for that team. And they got really flustered, and, you know, they were missing a bunch of shots at the rim. Like, Iguodala missed a bunch of layups. And
missed a lot of free throws, too.
Yeah, well, he'll have those nights. He's gotten better overall at free throws, but he'll have those nights.
Yeah.
Brewer missed a bunch. Their bench really evaporated last night. And they've had a pretty good bench, but they just really suffered against the Wolves' second unit.
Yeah, the Wolves' second unit was they were fantastic. And, you know, he gets limited minutes right now, but I'm telling you, like, Derek Williams is playing really good basketball in his limited minutes.
He didn't do things last night where I was like, oh, wow. Like, there were no you know, wah-wah moments with him. I was never like, wow, he just doesn't look like he knows what the hell he's doing on the floor. I was really impressed with him. You know, Bray, obviously, Cunningham. AK is everything that you made him out to be. I mean, it was a really good win for Minnesota. Denver was – the Bears were – that was the most angry I've seen the players after a loss this year. I haven't seen him on the road, but Carl was mad.
Yeah.
He talked about how they'd had a practice the day before, and he said before the game, he's like, I'm really worried about this one. And he said later that it was because they had a practice, and basically the practice he described as arrogant.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah, so like,
but wait, when did they trade for Carmelo Anthony? I thought that now that he was out of town, like, you just have good blue collar workers on the team.
I don't know if anybody's ever described Ty Lawson to Neil Gallinari and Andre Miller as blue collar. You know, they had that practice, and they're coming off the Clipper win, and they got up for that game, and they didn't get up for this one. And that's not to say that they didn't try. They weren't mentally prepared for a team that was mad coming off a back-to-back loss, an embarrassing one in Utah.
Right.
They weren't prepped, and they weren't prepared to play, and it showed. I could tell also, it's kind of funny because you can kind of tell how the game's going to go, because McGee's kind of the weather vane for this team. Because, like, JaVale came in, you know, and he's got pardon me, the swag, whatever. Like, he's just kind of, he's swaggering out to the court. He's literally kind of got a swagger to him.
Don't say swaggering out to the court.
Well, I'm like trying to actually say, like, he's actually going through the physical motion of swaggering. Yeah. You know?
This is so awkward.
Right? Anyway, so, and you just gotta tell, and then he goes out there, and like the first play is a foul, and then like he misses something badly, and like the first 5 minutes I was like, oh no, like he paid up 2 fouls in the first like 3 minutes, and I was like, this one's not gonna go well, because it's not so much that they need him, but it's just like, it's almost like he's kind of a determining factor for whether the team's kind of in sync or not, and so they weren't. But yeah, they were pretty mad after that loss.
I loved what, I mean, you didn't hear it, but Jim Peterson on the telecast for the Timberwolves just kept mentioning this Denver team wants to block your shot, and that's how you get them, is that they're over aggressive, and then you've got the offensive rebounds, and this is how you hit them. And he was dead on. I mean, the Timberwolves had 17 offensive rebounds, and just really found a way to, yeah, they got blocked a lot in the game, but they made up for it by getting effort, and when Denver did miss those blocks, they capitalized.
I will say that they got 6 offensive rebounds, Minnesota did, from Schved and Cunningham, and a lot of those were long rebounds where it was jumpers that they took and got the board. So it was like, it was one of those nights where all sorts of stuff was going wrong.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, the Wolves won the rebounding battle.
No, but I think a lot of that is Denver being out of position by being over aggressive. That's how you get those rebounds.
I think it's some of that. I think it's also Fareed's foul trouble was a big factor.
Yes.
Because, like, it's not even so much his positioning. He just out-efforts everyone. like Fareed, like, there was one where there was a tip ball that was, like, it got tipped up in the air in the second half, and then tipped up in the air, and then there's a moment where everyone's looking at it, and Fareed, this is, like, why they call him the Manimal. Like, he just, like, leapt up in the air and snatched it in both arms and growled and came down. Like, even Nikola Pekovic was like, whoa!
Which, how did he get in foul trouble?
He's not good at defense.
No, but, I mean, who got him in foul trouble?
Love.
Really? Because he didn't do anything in the game. I mean, he just sat there just sitting at half court, just on a message board, ripping Timberwolves fans. That's all he did throughout the game. I saw it.
Guy's iPad out.
just had the iPad out, like
taking pictures of himself with an iPad.
Right. Oh, I'm gonna sepia tone this one. There was another game last night that wasn't interesting at all, but there are two things of note.
I want to talk about this. What did I tell you about Popovich? What did I tell you? Can't trust him. Somebody mentions, there's the second half. And then, Pop's not even going to send his guys out for the fourth quarter. And I was like, I knew it. No. I knew it.
And that game was very winnable in the fourth. Well, I mean, heading into the fourth. It was over early in the fourth. That was great.
I think they're right, man. That saved me, too, because with the Nuggets completely, screwing up a home game versus a team on a back-to-back, that allowed me to go, I'm 500. I only started tracking from day before yesterday for this year. I'm starting over, and we have a hard time getting our picks kind of calculated at CBS. Don't get me started. People on the picks boards are like, why don't you post your picks? Are you afraid? And I'm like, no, I physically can't.
Yeah, so, no, you're totally afraid. One thing I liked that I learned last night is that my reverse jinx power is a lot better, a lot more impactful than George Karl's. That's what I took from that game last night.
My powers
are greater than George Karl's.
They're going to get slaughtered.
Yeah.
They're never going to hit a three.
Yeah.
How did the Knicks play?
It was, they definitely... This is what they did. They took care of the ball and they bombed from 3-point range, and there just didn't seem to be anything. They did a good job of running at the Spurs shooters, and they didn't shoot well at all, and they shot a lot of threes, and the Knicks just capitalized, and J.R. Smith's alley-oop in the fourth quarter, you saw that, correct?
Yeah.
I mean, the weird thing is that it wasn't an alley-oop. It was just a chest pass that he decided to jump on. I can't remember who said it. Somebody on Twitter was just like, that was the fact that he turned a chest pass into an alley-oop was a very J.R. Smith shot to take.
Is he going to cost them eventually?
Of course he is. He's J.R.
Smith. I don't want to be too hard on him.
No, he's played fantastic for most of this year, and they do need they need that personality coming off the bench. Because they, especially with Felton out, they just need a guy who's kind of fearless and will take shots, and you just hope he makes them.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, it's the year of the Gunner. It's still the year of the Gunner.
Unless you're Kevin Love.
Right. It's just the year of the complainer.
So should they trade Kevin Love? I'm sorry.
Oh, my God. Someone actually said, this was just dizzying logic, said the Wolves should trade Love for free straight up. And I said, that's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. And he said, look,
was his handle M. Ujiri?
No, this was a Timberwolves fan.
Allegedly.
A self-proclaimed Timberwolves fan.
It's a Nuggets assistant GM under...
And he said, Fareed dominates him every time out. And so I posted the box score to the first time they played this year, where it was Love's first game back. He had 34 and 14. And the Nuggets won. He goes, yeah, but the Nuggets won. See, Mr. Stats Patter doesn't win these games. And then I sent him the box score to the other game they played, where Fareed dominated Love and the Wolves won. And I got no response. And it's just just the idea that you could think, oh my God, I wish we didn't have Kevin Love. I wish we had Kenneth Faried. And assuming that you're not running a slam ball team, that's the only reason that would make sense. But that idea to me, it just floored me.
Someone inside the Nuggets told me this, that he said, if you look at how the entire Denver Nuggets team plays when Fareed is on the floor, you have to love him because he really does. The energy picks up.
Oh, absolutely. Harder and better. He's an awesome role player. I really think he's an awesome role player.
But he also said, he was like, but if you ask me to try and figure out exactly what he is and who he's going to be, he's like, it's not good or bad. I just don't know.
Right.
See, I have no idea how this is going to work out. No one does. That's the amazing thing about Fareed, but he's got so much responsibility on him that he ends up being compared to Kevin Love, and that's absurd.
I feel like I'm going to end up just spending the next 20 minutes on this podcast reading my mentions from last night, because there was another person who said, I said, like, I understand the like Love is not playing great, but he's not playing horribly. I said, when he gets this right, and he will, this team is dangerous. And someone said, how do you know he's going to get it right and won't just pout the entire season? And my response was, because he's not four.
I talked to Royce White for an hour on Twitter last night, and somehow I had the more mature conversation.
Did you? You talked to Royce last night?
Yeah.
How'd that go?
For an hour. Trying to get him to stop talking on Twitter and putting out statements and go talk to a reporter and then shut up and go to work.
Wow.
I got a lot of hashtags. That's what I got.
A lot of B-Wells?
A lot of B-Wells, a lot of hashtags, a lot of anxiety troopers, a lot of hashtag truth.
I haven't listened to the radio interview that he did, but he apparently did one with Mateen Cleaves, which was confusing to me. And people said, oh, he came off really well and really intelligent. I was like, yeah, he's an intelligent guy. He's just, like, he's coming off...
21.
Yeah, he's coming off manic on Twitter, you know? Like, that. Like, I think if you sat him down and talked to him about this, I really think you would get a very nice and well-reasoned conversation. And I don't think that he is... he's wrong in his feelings. I just think that he comes off as manic and desperate on Twitter.
I've tried to make this clear on Twitter, but I need to make it clear on the podcast as well. I've advocated for him to talk to a reporter, and I have not said me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm happy to talk to Royce if he wants to. I do understand his condition better than a lot of reporters are going to, but I just want him to talk to somebody who's a professional, like being able to convey his message and be able to do it fairly, to be able, like, well, okay, here are the criticisms, here's response. You know, I've listed, you know, Sam Amick of USA Today is a great choice. I think Mark Spears of Yahoo is another great choice. His agent can steer him to a player-friendly reporter.
Oh, absolutely. And any, you know, any of those guys will be so good at this.
The beat writer for the Houston Chronicle, great. I mean, there are guys out there that he can tell a story to who are going to be able to relate his problems to explain this protocol crap that he's being so vague about. In an actual manner, and be able to get comment from the Rockets that's going to have meaning.
I've thought about this, but just as like an extreme example, but he's always like, you know, who's not going to, you know, who are you going to listen to? Like a trained medical professional or someone who doesn't know about it? And I immediately just my head goes to, you know, Michael Jackson's doctor was trained and professional. Like, not that, and I'm not saying his doctors are going to just feed him painkillers until he dies, but like that, like some doctors, like you do get things wrong. Like you can't just assume doctors are correct. Now I don't think you should assume they're wrong, but it's not just this blanket. All doctors are correct. They all know what they're talking. Like there are different ways to handle different situations. And it's weird. It's just a weird thing. Like he's a very intelligent guy and I don't understand why. I mean, maybe he does see that and he's just ignoring it, but it, I don't know. That's just a weird thing to me. Like there are more viewpoints in this situation than I feel like he's either recognizing or letting on.
Okay, hey, we've hit a new low point in this podcast. Where
I'm referencing the death of the King of Pop.
And then, because by the way, in relation to the situation, comparisons that have been brought by either Royce White or now you. Newtown, Martin Luther King, I brought that last night actually. Not in relation to him, but trying to make a point. And now, the death of Michael Jackson. So, the big thing with me is, look, I understand he wants his doctors to have input on it, but you have to come to a compromise with the Rockets. You can't just say, it's my way or the highway. There's got to be, like, you have to allow Daryl Morey to run that team. You have to allow Kevin McHale to run that team.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's
you can't tell an employer they can't run their business the way that they want to.
Right
within the grounds of the ADA, you know, outside the realm of the ADA, and if that's his complaint, he has legal recourse that he needs to pursue.
Yeah,
but this public relations battle, he's lost. He's already lost.
Yeah, and it's just weird to be like, nope, this is the only way that it can go.
Yep.
And that's what comes off when he's saying, why aren't you believing in trained professionals? It's like there is a compromise somewhere that hopefully will eventually be reached. But
and he's spouting quotes at me about Gandhi and all this stuff, and to me it's just like, it's a 21-year-old that doesn't understand that compromise is an essential part of how you live your life.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he's I'm 30, and he's going to learn in the next 9 years that compromise is a huge part of life.
Regurgitating quotes doesn't make you educated on something. Trust me. I know next to nothing about movies, but I give movie quotes all the time.
Clippers-Lakers tonight.
Yes. That is going to be...
LA, baby.
What's odd is I just was going through the guide this morning, and Battle Los Angeles was on one of the movie channels. Felt very apropos.
When you think of Battle Los Angeles, do you think of the movie or do you think of the Rage Against the Machine album?
I sadly think of the movie now, because that's the last time I've consumed Battle of Los Angeles. I watched the
just
movie.
Just like the movie, I very much want this game to be good, and it probably won't.
That's true. It's a weird stylistic, like, both teams are pretty much fast paced in theory, but in very different ways.
I mean, the Lakers are looking for shots in transition. I think the Clippers are kind of looking for sets in transition.
Yeah.
That's part of it.
Yeah.
I thought a lot about that. I think that's one of the best things that that's a characteristic, I think, of winning teams, is that they run sets in transition.
And you really, I mean, that's, I think, at least half the time, that's the point of transition, is to get a mismatch you can run a quick set against.
Yep.
And it's not just about, hey, let's get three passes and then we've got a dunk. I mean, that would be ideal, but that doesn't happen really all that often.
The line tonight is 4.5, the Clippers, who are, quote, at home.
God, how are the Lakers going to travel there?
I hate that they get this, like, it just bugs me that this is, like, an away game for LA. It just bugs the crap out of me.
Hey, Jack's not going to be in his seat, or maybe he will, I don't know.
Like, two of their away games for each of these teams a year are them having to walk across the hall. Like,
I think... To guarantee that it's an away game is that Frankie Muniz has to be in Jack Nicholson's seat. Then it's a true away game.
4.5 feels small to me.
It feels very small.
Clippers are coming off 17 straight. They've lost 2 straight. The Lakers have won a bunch of games recently, but they also lost to the Philadelphia 76ers.
Yeah, but they're 5-9 on the road.
I hate him. Right now, I hate him. At this very moment, I hate him.
That's so weird. What if the Nets played at Madison Square Garden?
It is weird. I mean, you're just talking about it, like, it just removes an away game. You should almost put them in different divisions just to break it up, because, I mean, it's two away games that aren't away games.
Yeah.
You know,
one of them should have to play in like Malibu or something.
I mean, like, you know, think of this. That's two in a league where, and this is one that, well, I know about last night. Like, these games, like division games, now that we're starting to get into the flow of the season, these games matter.
Oh, for sure.
And people lose it because they're like, oh, it's just January. I'm like, no. You're gonna look back when you're trying to get that 4 seed versus dropping to the 6. And really wish you had those division games, because that's the difference. If you end up tying with a team, but their division record's better, and you end up losing it, you know, if you split the season series, you're really gonna have wish that you've gotten that game. You know, those division wins matter, and so it's like, this is like a division game, right? And yet it's like, you know, two of these division games are non-away games. They're just home games, and disguised as an away game. Versus Denver has to go to, or like Minnesota has to go to Utah, Portland, Denver, and Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
Not exactly walking across the hall.
Right.
A lot of star power, though, man.
Oh, a lot of star power. And the Lakers are going to be there, too.
What? Caught me on that one. I was looking at something popped up on my screen, and I was like, wait, what? What? Nash CP3 is the better player right now.
Yeah, oh god, yeah.
this point in his career. DeAndre Jordan, Dwight's fun.
Yeah, depending on what version of Dwight we get.
And there's always a chance that Blake will dunk on Powell, which is my favorite thing ever.
What's funny is last year, that game that Blake dunked on Powell twice, I believe, Powell actually dominated that game.
And the Lakers won.
Yeah.
Don't care.
No.
Don't care. Griffin won that game.
Sure.
It's just that when Powell gets dunked on, he looks so sad and pathetic.
He looks like a surprised ostrich. He does, like, he looks like a surprise ostrich that, like, just got goosed or something. Like, what just happened?
And then there's, like, he just, like, kind of staggers off. He looks all sad and frumpy, like, it's like Snuffle Up, I guess. Like, yeah. Oh, Bert. And then, it's the fact that Blake takes so much joy in it. It's gonna be good. And then we get the Clippers bench versus Robert Sacre.
That's going to be a great battle.
This is going to be a great battle of over-celebration.
It's going to be like Bring It On. It's going to be just like Bring It On. I think Robert Sacre is going to try to recruit Eliza Dushku.
From and then Bazemore and the Warriors bench will break in.
Yeah, they will.
And go, this ain't your town.
They're like the, who was it? Was it Gabrielle Union in the movie? They're like that one.
It's going to be amazing.
It's going to be really good.
Other good games tonight, though.
I keep trying to talk myself out of watching Bulls games, but for some reason I'm just drawn to them. I think Bulls Heat's going to be decent.
You like smart teams, I think, is a lot of it.
Yeah.
And the Bulls are really smart, and then they have Nate Robinson, but in general, the Bulls are just, they know what they're doing.
Yeah, it's very systemic, and if the system works, they win. If not, then... That's kind of just what they live with.
Celtics are 2.5 favorites at home versus the Pacers, which I think is nuts.
Ooh, I don't agree with that at all.
Was the Memphis game a good sign, do you think? There's been a debate about that. Red's Army had a post about how it showed some things. And Danny Ainge talked about it too, about how he thinks that they showed some things in that game.
Yeah, I think it was a sign that, hey, probably not going to get worse than this. I think that was a good sign for them.
No, I'm sorry. The Kings game was rock bottom.
Yeah, that's true.
That was rock bottom. Losing by 20 to Sacramento for a title contender is rock bottom.
I'm really excited about this Jason Terry Lance Stevenson matchup.
Oh man. How is Lance, and you have to give the kid credit. You really do.
Yeah, I really disliked him because of, let's just say, the trouble he had in the past. Really hard for me to like a guy after that. But with that said, he is a guy that could easily be out of the league right now.
Yeah.
And he has worked very hard to make sure, like, he is a contributing member to a good team. And there is some appreciation and joy you can take from that. A guy working hard to get things right.
Heater giving 7 to the Bulls at home tonight. Feels high.
That feels about right to me.
The Chicago plays them tough, man. They'd love beating that team.
Yeah, they also have Marco Bellinelli.
Yeah, but I mean... they won with John Lucas last year.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't understand if that was a retort. Or, like, I don't know what that was.
It was a response to Bellinelli. It's like, they've won with those guys before.
Yeah, but, I mean, John Lucas can at least dribble at basketball.
Bellinelli can dribble. He just shoots too much.
Really, the key, they just, this is always the key for Chicago against Miami is, can they dominate the offensive glass? That's kind of what you have to do. You have to bully them out of there, and I don't know that that's possible with the way LeBron's playing.
He's a little banged up. He missed practice. He's going to play.
Yeah.
I think it comes down to Wade. I think it's whether or not Wade is able to put out a Wade-worthy effort tonight.
It'll be interesting is when when they go small and the Bulls have Taj Gibson out there, I want to see Taj defending LeBron. I mean, we've seen it before, but I think that this version of LeBron, it'll be an interesting matchup.
Battier's threes are also important.
Yeah, Tom Haberstroh had a great piece on corner threes and how Miami uses them, and it really just the way they use Ray Allen and Shane Battier in the corner, and even throwing guys like Chalmers and Cole in there, it's just fun.
It's kind of the weapon. I think that may be the difference, though, is they hadn't really figured out their 3-point shooting when they played the Bulls last year.
Yeah.
So that may be the kind of difference. You want a weird one? A weird line?
Sure.
This one freaked me out last night. It's gone down. The Pistons at open were -1 at home versus the Hawks. They're now getting 1.5.
The
Detroit Pistons, not some other Pistons. The Detroit Pistons.
Not just like 18,000 fans throwing car parts at the Hawks.
Take this carburetor, Jeff Teague.
That's
suck
weird.
Suck on this alternator, Zaza Pachulia.
Who's injured for the Hawks?
I don't know.
I know, like, Morrow and Devin Harris aren't going to play, but that makes me think that they're going to be better. Or at least they're banged up and they might not play.
Yeah, I think Harris is still out. Yeah, that one's pretty weird. Oh, game of the night. You ready?
Oh, God. Don't say it.
Bobcats, 1.5 favorites versus the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Can they get to 9 wins?
On Monday, we're doing our predictions. We're comparing our preseason predictions and what they have to do to match that going forward. And the Bobcats are way above. I actually pretty much nailed the Cavs. But Kyrie versus Kemba is going to be fun.
That'll be fun. I actually think Waiters and NKG could be fun.
To watch MKG force him into more shots than points than usual?
Yes. I don't know. I mean, that's not fun to you?
Yes.
God,
here, listen to this one. Thunder are 10.5 at home versus the Sixers. They're giving 10.5.
I don't like the Sixers team right now.
It's really weird to me because, like, the Sixers have a bunch of good wins, but they've also been sliding slowly backwards. That Phoenix loss was bad.
Yeah, that I mean, they had the win over the Lakers was great, and it showed a lot. But to bounce back like or to bounce forward like
sideways.
To bounce like a football against the Suns like that was just it was confusing. It made me just think like it doesn't matter if Drew Holiday plays great basketball. Like he isn't going to really affect the win or loss of that team. Like he's just going to play very solid basketball and hopefully people join him.
It makes me crazy because I feel like I keep going, well, you know, it's Drew Holiday and like Thaddeus Young's been awesome this year. He's got like a 19.2 PER. He's been fantastic.
Yeah.
They have shooters. It's just, you know, it's Hawes and Brown. Like if they'd only gone out and gotten themselves a big man. Oh, every time I'm just like, oh yeah, wait. That's right.
God, I hope he comes back just for one game.
Right? Just to see it. I just want to know what they're capable of.
Yeah.
Bucks are giving a point tonight at home versus the Rockets. I was surprised at that one. Rockets been red hot.
Yeah, I feel like the Rockets win that game.
I like the Bucks a lot. I don't like the Jennings Ellis thing, but I like how much effort they get from so many guys. I really like – I like Tobias Harris. I really like Sanders, how he's playing. I love that they're using Drew Gooden in, like, a role that's adequate for him.
Well, I think it's good that you're not, like, basing your, like, your love for them on Jennings Ellis because I don't think either will be on the team next year.
Right. That's the whole thing.
But I do like – I like Jennings Dunleavy and I like Ellis Baino. Like, I think those are two combinations they work really well with.
Yeah, they just need to not play together.
Yeah, exactly. Which is exactly what you want out of your starting backcourt.
I really wish Milwaukee would sell high on Ellis. They need him to go on a streak. If they sell him high, I feel like they can get like a great package back.
Yeah, maybe they can get more big men not to play.
But no, like I think if you got a competent set of shooters and you know maybe one more wing perimeter defender.
How many players are they going to get from Monte Ellis?
You can get. I don't know. I tend to think that you can still get quite a bit for Ellis.
Yeah, maybe.
Because he's a guy that like a contending team.
I guess his contract is high enough.
Like a sub contender is going to look at and go like, could that guy put us over the? Because the available options for guys to put you over the top, like he's. And this is going to be, you're going to laugh at the comparison, and maybe it's accurate, even though he's younger. Like, think about where the Cavs were with Antoine Jameson when they were evaluating that move, and they were trying to find that guy to put him over.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know that I completely agree with that, but I can see your logic behind that.
I mean, if you're Boston, if they'll take Jeff Green, Jason Terry, and whatever other crap is on that team, wouldn't you do it?
Oh, God, yeah. If I get rid of Jeff Green's contract?
Yeah.
And I get a scorer? Absolutely.
Yeah, you can run. Then when Rondo's having one of his games, we can run out Bradley and Ellis. Yeah.
And Milwaukee likes taking on awkward contracts.
Right. Jeff Green, and Jeff Green can come along a little bit more slowly.
Yeah, and I mean, he's like 26 now, right? Like,
he's got time.
How old is he?
He's got time. This is what's come to for the Utah Jazz.
Oh, God.
They're a point and a half underdog versus the Phoenix Suns tonight.
That's drunk.
Although, I will say, the Suns are really good at home. Not really good. The Suns, compared to their crappy selves the rest of the time.
Right.
Are good at home.
Yeah, I don't... I mean, they are much better at home than they are on the road, but... Oh, yeah, and the Jazz are much worse on the road than they are at home. Yeah, I guess I can see that. I just feel like the Jazz are such a much better team. No Mo Williams, though. All right, I can see the line.
Phoenix is 4-6 at home as a favorite. And Utah is 3-9-1 against the spread on the road as an underdog.
Yikes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Utah has got some problems that they are hiding.
Oh, my God. Phoenix is going to win this game.
And now the Jazz will win by 15. And done. Your other game tonight, Grizzlies are favored by 9 versus Portland. If Portland wins this game, I'm going to be really irritated. I'm tired of this team pretending it's good. Someone told me last night, that a Blazers fan told me last night, in all seriousness, he thinks they're going to make the Western Conference Finals.
This year?
Mm-hmm. I didn't ask if he was on ether.
Oh, no, that's implied.
It's blood. Oh, here's another one. Raptors are giving 6.5 to the Kings. It's another gem of a game.
Yeah.
Tom Bargnani expected to have 20 points.
I feel like I'm just going to not show up to work until the Laker game.
The Nets are only favored by 5.5 on the road at D.C. at Washington.
In the P.J. Carlissimo era? I don't agree with that.
I don't agree with that at all.
No.
Okay, let's wrap this thing up. What Clippers prediction tonight. Clippers, Lakers.
I gotta go. Until the Lakers start playing consistently, I think the Clippers win this game. It wouldn't shock me if the Lakers won, but I just think that was a bad loss for the Clippers in Oakland, and I would imagine they're gonna be pretty mad.
It took, if the Clippers line was 5.5, I'd probably go with the Lakers. At 4.5, I'm going with the Clippers. The Lakers, I would not surprise me if the Lakers won this game. It should be fun with them.
I hope so. Because
next week, we're going to do look at our predictions. I'm going to force Zach to make uncomfortable decisions about playoff teams.
Yes.
I'm hoping to talk to Paul Millsap on Saturday. We'll see if it happens. I might have a feature on that. Baseline Awards out on Monday. I'm probably going to talk about most improved player and get the rant about how much I love Corey Brewer. What are you writing the next couple days?
Basically just replying to insane mentions.
Okay.
On Twitter. And actually looking to have a little thing on LaMarcus Aldridge after this weekend. The Blazers will be in town on Saturday.
Yeah.
Thanks, Matt.